following broadcast may contain free thinking and open-minded discussion, ideas, skepticism, and adult subject matter. Topics will be discussed using adult language, sometimes gratuitously. Get ready to move the conversation forward. This ain't your granddad's news and comment show. This is I Doubt It Podcast with Brittany Page and Jesse Dollimore.
Seems like it's been forever, but we are back. Episode 920 of I Doubt It Podcast. I'm your host, Jesse Dollimore, joined today by the lovely, talented, and indeed scholarly Brittany Page, everybody.
Well, we were so hopeful last time we recorded an episode, and it's been a while because we had planned to go on vacation.
Yeah. Well, we did.
We did go on vacation, but it ended up turning into kind of a nightmare.
Yes.
And we were so hopeful. We were so excited. It was my first time going to Europe. I was like really excited. I get kind of sentimental about travel because I come from a family that didn't do a lot of traveling. Like, I know my mom has always wanted to see the world, and I don't think that will ever happen. And so I never take it for granted that I'm able to do things like that. And there were things during the trip that didn't go super well, like the airline losing my bag.
Oh, yeah, no kidding.
And that's never happened to me before. I've never had my bag just suddenly be gone because of the airline. Thankfully, I had an AirTag in it, so I could tell every time they were lying to me about its location. They're I knew exactly where it was.
Driving it around London.
Yeah, yes. And I don't know that we want to get into the bag because it's like the least of what happened to us.
Let's save it for another intro topic because it is a saga.
Yeah, it was pretty remarkable. But always put an AirTag in your bag. That's the lesson that we learned.
No kidding.
And then, so we had traveled with two friends from Washington State. Many people who listen to the show will know Brett number one.
My best friend since childhood.
Right.
And his wife, Lisa,
yeah.
Also one of my great friends from childhood.
Yeah. And hopefully those of you who are on Patreon saw the updates that we posted. If you're on YouTube, you're following the updates that we've been posting. And I even saw some people say, I hope this isn't about Brett number one.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, it was.
It was.
And so they had planned to stay 2 days later than us.
Can I also say this? He's on the mend. So if we're telling the story and you hear mood or attitude that doesn't seem to jive with someone who was dying, it's because he is on the mend. He's out of the woods relative to the threat to his life.
Right. Yeah, that's important to note.
But go ahead, because I just like giggled and I'm like, oh, that's going to come across wrong to people who don't know what the fuck's going on.
Yeah, yeah. So they had planned to stay 2 days later than us. So we were on our way back. And before we had even left, in the last few days of our trip, Brett had started to feel sick. And he was complaining that his stomach hurt. He couldn't really, I guess, articulate what it was that was causing him the pain, but that he was having this stomach pain and he was needing to leave early and not able to spend the whole day with us exploring. And so we ended up flying back. And while we're on our flight, we get a message from Lisa that she has taken Brett to the ER. Like, things had gotten so bad with his pain
in Glasgow
that they decided to go to the ER. And,
or as they call it in the UK, A&E, accidents and emergencies.
Yes. And and so that was definitely concerning, but you still don't think that he's at risk of dying. You know, we're like, okay, that's a terrible way for the trip to end. It's a terrible way for you to spend the last 2 days of your trip. Let us keep us updated. Let us know how it goes.
You think there's going to be some medicinal, pharmacological intervention to cure the indigestion or whatever's causing the pain. You don't think it's going to be a medically induced coma with Brett on a ventilator for a week. Having the doctors given Lisa a 50-50 chance of his survival.
Right. And that's
sepsis,
what happened.
And a blood infection or E. coli. I mean, it was a goddamn nightmare.
Yeah. And so we landed that night. We woke up the next morning and we were on a call with Lisa and the doctor, and the doctor said, I'm sorry to have to tell you this, but this is a situation where he could die. And they're very direct. They are not about trying to shine you on.
Not in a negative way either.
Yeah, no, it's just refreshing. Very direct. She was very compassionate.
Yes.
Very, you know, expressing that she knows this is the terrible way for your vacation to end, and this is not the way that you want to be stuck in Scotland, and this is not what you want to be happening to your friend, but she did express how serious it was. And so you knew at that moment that you had to go back to Scotland. Yeah. And so you did go back to Scotland, and it was difficult for you. I mean, you can talk about your experience being there for a week while Brett was in a coma and while he was on the ventilator. And thankfully you were there when he woke up as well.
Yeah, I don't want to get too much into it because it's, I don't want to start the episode crying and then try to have that be the the way we start this. But I was thinking, obviously, I love Brett. I love Lisa. But I was also thinking that if something happened to me, if it had been me, I would want someone to drop everything and fly the fuck across the world to be with you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so everything was coming up. There was no other decision. It wasn't like we labored over it. We just bought a ticket and I flew back, checked into the nearest hotel I could find to the hospital, and then was there at his bedside for most of the hours I was there. It was very, very scary when you walk in and your best friend is lying there with tubes in his neck, tubes in his groin. The surgery had already taken place by the time I got there, and he was hooked up to many, many machines on propofol, just clinging to life. It was very wrenching, insane.
And
no descriptors.
And thankfully you were there when they woke him up.
Yeah, that's right.
They took him off the ventilator.
Yeah, so they woke him up the next day. The day I was, was it the day I left? The day before I left.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, the day before I left, his levels were good enough that they felt like they could take him off the ventilator and have him breathe on his own. So they lowered his propofol. They had been doing this for the last two days or so, lowering, just turning off the propofol. And propofol is a drug, I'm not speaking as an expert here, I'm just kind of regurgitating what was told to me, but like propofol is what I get when I go to my colonoscopies. It puts you under super quick, and when they turn off the hose, they turn off the spigot, you wake up super quick.
Like when I woke up during my colonoscopy.
That is exactly right.
Yeah.
Apparently, they did not give you enough. It's the drug Michael Jackson died, having been administered to him. Which, there were a lot of comments about, this is the Michael Jackson drug, you know, to let people know what it is.
Even in Scotland?
Yeah, even in Scotland.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah. So, by the way, and we'll talk about this in a later time, but amazing doctors, amazing nurses. They were a little befuddled by our American optimism, I think. They were oftentimes kind of like mood checking us. Like, hey, look, we just want to remind you, he's real, real sick. he's very sick. He still might die. We're like, we know. We love him. We want to be here for him. If he can hear us, we want him to, you know what I mean?
Yeah, you're like, we're Americans. Our taxes don't give us any services.
Yeah,
so
we're
have to be like filled with optimism to try to survive and
we're
get through the day.
We're just thrilled to be here, man. There, I mean, there wasn't, you know, when you're in a hospital situation, even when I had my cancer surgery, there was nursing staff. There was a doctor I didn't like. There was none of that mood check shit with them. Every single person who worked for the hospital I interacted with, from custodial staff to the surgeon that helped Brett, was a wonderful experience. Just a fucking remarkable experience.
That's
and
awesome.
I don't know if it's because they're Scottish, they're British, the NHS, or it's just the professionalism that they bring to the job and the personability. I don't know, but we could learn a lot culture-wise from these people. But anyway, so So they were a couple days they would take to turn off the propofol, see how he would react. And it was, you know, the last day we got a thumbs up, which was remarkable. There was smiling. There was, you know, just it was progress. And then the very final day before I flew out, one of the doctors said, I think it's time. She said, I think we can. It's time to maybe take the tube. He's there's enough oxygen saturation that he's not getting the assist from the ventilator that he was once getting. Let me go consult with some others and we'll see. That consultation lasted no time, 5, 6, 7 minutes, came back, and it was time. So they needed everybody to clear the room while they did it, because I'm sure they don't want us, you know, watching that to happen. And I went down to get a cup of coffee, and when I came back, he was sitting up with no hose in his lungs and was awake-ish, mm-hmm. which was insane. And it was all uphill, all smooth sailing from there, although he was experiencing delirium,
yeah,
having hallucinations, which apparently, I had no idea, is par for the course. Very, very common when you've been on propofol or some kind of a coma-inducing drug for that long.
Mm-hmm.
So, and now he's probably going to be in Scotland for up to 2 months, maybe more, not able to fly back.
Mm-hmm.
His job is impacted. Their lives have just been turned upside down because of all of this.
Yeah. And I mean, think of that. We were all just so excited to go on vacation. And then in an instant, things were completely different and it turned into a crisis.
Yeah.
And like you said, Lisa is still there. She's going to be there for as long as he, you know, needs to be there so that he can get well enough to fly back. And then there's going to be continued health things that he needs to address.
His diet will certainly, because I didn't know this, but the gallbladder, which was removed, secretes bile into the intestine, which helps break down fats. So it's a low, no-fat diet on the way forward for him. And who knows what else there may be. I don't want to get too in-depth with his personal details. Some of this stuff I feel comfortable saying because it is written. Lisa's co-workers put together a GoFundMe. And if you'd like to give, we'll link below if you have $5 or $10 to help out, you know, a long-time person who's been talked about on this show. That would be fantastic. But the details that I've talked about are in that GoFundMe. So they're public-ish, mm-hmm. and I feel comfortable.
Yeah, and that's been a difficult thing, too, is navigating this with our jobs being putting ourselves on the internet. And then,
like, not everybody signs up for that just because they're in our lives.
Yeah, and if you're, like, in a different place, you know, like in a park like you were filming your videos in a park, you kind of have to explain where you are and what's going on.
Right.
And it's a difficult position to be in where you're like navigating something that affects other people in your life who you want to protect from the people who call to threaten and rape and kill us or call us cunts. And, you know, it's...
And not in like a funny, haha, oh, you wily cunt, you.
Yeah, I know.
Not in the British way.
Yeah, not everyone wants to be involved with that, as evidenced by the number of listeners who write to us and say, don't say my name.
Yeah.
Don't say my name online.
Justifiably so.
Yeah, and so we were trying to navigate, like, we need to give some details here, but we don't want to give a bunch of details. But yeah, it's been very difficult, and I just feel for Brett and Lisa because it would be so scary, and Lisa's just been an absolute champ and so strong, and they are, you know, they seem to be in a good place now where they at least have a plan for what is going to happen going forward. And at least, like you said, the treatment team is so fantastic that is around them that has to give them peace of mind and help them know how to move forward in something that is just, I mean, it's hard to imagine again that this could happen. And we talk a lot about luck. And people will always say to me, does luck include bad luck?
Yes,
of course it does. Yes. This is bad luck. This is something that you would never expect to happen. And then here it is. what the hell?
Yeah. I mean, even the nursing staff and the doctors talked endlessly about he's so lucky that he's a young, fit man.
Mm-hmm.
That it's doing wonders, the fact that he is strong and young and fit and able to hold off the ravages of what is taking place.
Yeah.
And that's lucky, too.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
So.
So we do appreciate all of the very kind messages and messages of support that we've received. And
the patience.
Yeah, yes, for sure. And, yeah, giving us the space to... I mean, we were just not in a place to record something. We would have been...
I'm barely there now.
Yeah, I mean, it's been... It's been very stressful. So it's been nice to just have people be very supportive and kind, and we really appreciated it. And I know that Brett and Lisa also really appreciate it. So thank you for that. And I guess remember that life is short.
Yeah, and, no kidding. Fragile.
Yeah. And things can change in an instant. And I think it's difficult to live your life and hold those ideas at the forefront because, like, how do you get through the day if you're constantly thinking about how short and fragile your life is? You kind of have to...
Everybody just quit their fucking jobs.
Yeah.
The economy would collapse.
Yeah, we'd all just be on vacation all the time. But it is, and it's difficult to hold those ideas. But I think, you know, balancing it in a way that allows you to maximize the things in your life that bring you joy and fulfillment and reminding yourself of it sometimes, I think, is important just to... you know, help get through even the hell that has been going on in the political climate over the past 2 weeks as well.
Yeah.
Which we're sorry we haven't been here for.
Yeah, what a weird time to go away.
I know.
Just the vacation part of it. We missed the debate where Biden screwed the pooch at the debate.
Right.
Flubbing and
right.
The nightmare that was. Thankfully, we had Garrison Hayes filling in on YouTube.
Right.
But, I mean, even that was just like, wow, the crazy, we missed this big moment. And then I come back and somebody tries to shoot Donald Trump.
I know.
The day after or 2 days after I get home.
Yeah.
I could have missed that because I almost stayed through the weekend. Hadn't he woken up, we were talking about maybe I should stay through like Sunday.
Right.
Just to get him through. I want him to wake up and see me.
Mm-hmm.
And I would have missed that.
Yeah, yeah.
So anyway, thank you very much. We appreciate you guys so much. You are a beautiful, beautiful, supportive audience that is filled with wonderful, loving people. And we cannot say enough. Thank you so much. Finding the right materials and tech to fit your working environment can be tough. With our podcast spaces, we went through a bunch of different desks and chairs while searching for a flexible setup that worked best for us. That setup, our Uplift standing desk.
As the New York Times Wirecutter's standing desk pick for 5 years running, Uplift Desk doesn't just aim to improve your work, but your health as well. Studies show that using a standing desk can heighten your mood and focus, and moving more throughout the day lowers your risk of disease.
We absolutely love our Uplift Desk because we can go from sitting to standing height with one press of a button while prepping for and shooting the show. It's also super stable and comes with cable management accessories to help conceal all those wires. Customize your Uplift Desk with over 100 desktop styles and hundreds of accessories. You'll get 4 free when you buy a desk.
Elevate your work and your health. Go to UpliftDesk.com/IDoubtIt to get 5% off your first purchase when you use code IDoubtIt at checkout. Uplift Desk has 6,000 five-star Google reviews and counting, so we're not the only people singing their praises. And with a 15-year warranty, free shipping, free returns with free return shipping, you cannot lose if you try them out. Uplift your health and productivity.
Just head to UpliftDesk.com/IDoubtIt or click the link in the description to score 5% off of your order when you use code IDoubtIt at checkout. Work better, live healthier, with Uplift Desk. Let's get to some listener communication. We have a voicemail line and an email that is 657-464-7609. And of course, you can email idoubtit@dollemore.com.
These emails are all going to be related to the Trump shooting because we got a lot of messages about the Trump shooting. What's interesting about us taking time off is even though we haven't been here to talk about this, when the Trump shooting happened, so many people thought, oh my God, I need to message Jesse and Brittany.
Yeah.
So this is the first. Jesse and Brittany, I am very distressed over the shooting yesterday at the Trump rally. I would never vote for him, but I don't believe in violence. I don't believe in owning guns. Lives were lost unnecessarily. How he thought at that terrifying moment to put his fist in the air is baffling. I know to some it will be impressive. Watching YouTube clips today, my distress has increased. NBC is showing a fabricated image of him, fist held high, Secret Service surrounding him. The background has been cleared of people and the actual scene. An upside-down flag is in the background. This Iwo Jima-style image is showing him to be strong, defiant, and patriotic? I also saw it used on ABC, probably other channels. Why does the media want to portray him in this light? It is so distressing to me because I fear what we will be if he gets power. Please help with some suggestions of how we can protect ourselves and democracy in this environment. All I have is my vote, and it doesn't seem like enough. I am a woman. I have a daughter in her 20s. I am Jewish. I am afraid. Susan.
Let me say this, Susan. First of all, you're right to be afraid. I wouldn't let it consume you, but it's not inappropriate to feel that way. A couple of things, though. That image was not fabricated. The vantage point makes it seem like there's no crowd there because the photographer was on the ground. His name is Evan Vucci. He is like the chief photography correspondent for the Washington Post. He's credible and talented and amazing. I don't know why they're running with that particular one, other than it was so noteworthy that he made Secret Service stop. Let me get my shoes. Made them stop and then pumped his fist. He took a moment to make it a propaganda moment.
And there's no other explanation for that, I think, than he's an entertainer.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. No, that's what it is.
Yeah.
But the flag was being dangled between two cranes. All of that's real. That's not altered or staged or any of that. I am pretty disappointed with the media, though. Absolutely. Not with the photography part of this, but absolutely how they're handling it and how it's like when someone dies who's not a good person or is adjacent to not being a good person, and everybody remembers them as being some kind of a saint. It's kind of like what's happening. They're acting like Donald Trump died, and then we all need to, for the sake of decency, say the best things about him. When Donald Trump was a fascist the day before the attempt on his life, he's a fascist during it, and he's a fascist now. He's attempting to end democracy in America. We don't need to scratch around and try to find good things to say about the guy.
Yeah. I want to hone in on the line that Susan said here, that some people will find it impressive that he pumped his fist in the air and said fight after being shot in the ear. And you know who found it impressive is Cenk Uygur of the Young Turks.
Called it badass.
And, you know, I hope he's enjoying the 60,000 likes that he got on that tweet and the very prominent engagement that he received on that tweet. But something...
Just attention chode, man, Cenk.
Something that we don't need to do is go out of our way to praise someone who, when they get into power, is going to, through the Heritage Foundation, through the Project 2025, institute policies that are going to radically shape the landscape in this country, that are going to implement the Comstock Act and make it illegal to ship abortion pills and equipment in this country, effectively leading to a national abortion ban.
Yeah, they seek to end marriage equality in this country. They seek to make illegal same-sex relationships. They seek to end gender-affirming care for not only children, but also adults.
So at no point do we need to reach for examples or take to our prominent platforms and say that anything Donald Trump has done or will do is impressive. There's just no reason to do that. Badass, impressive, it doesn't matter. Donald Trump it surprised me too, his reaction, because he's never really been through anything in his life traumatic or difficult, and so it is kind of surprising that in that moment he had the clarity of mind to put his fist in the air and to recognize it as the political moment that it would be. But I explain that just that it's his ego. His ego is not going to allow him to have a vulnerable moment in front of the crowd, to have a vulnerable moment in front of the cameras. His ego will not allow that.
Yeah.
And he is, first and foremost, a performer, an entertainer. He knows how to rile up a crowd. He feels most at home in front of a crowd, in front of a camera, when he's getting attention. And so... yeah, I mean, it is baffling that all of this has occurred.
Well, but he's a weakling and a coward. Let's not lose sight of that. He didn't pop right up. It was only until he realized it was just his ear that he did the fist thing and acted like a tough guy. Yeah, other than that, he was on his fucking face on the floor.
Well, and let's also not forget that now there is this unifying message that basically there are jobs that women shouldn't have, including being a Secret Service agent.
Yeah, the Republican Party. I mean... it is amazing that a 20-year-old white Republican took a shot at Donald Trump, and they're blaming DEI and women for Donald Trump shooting.
Well, and also, so they're talking about the Secret Service agents, the women that you see in the video, because they are, I mean, according to them, acting unprofessional, acting frantic, unable to holster their weapon, whatever, when reports come out that there was a cop who saw the shooter with his gun going up the roof, and he followed him to the roof on a ladder. But then when the shooter pointed the gun at him, he retreated down the ladder.
He ran away.
So, again, we have another situation where a cop... how many times has this happened now with these mass shootings? A cop had an opportunity to do something, to engage the shooter, to prevent it. And they didn't.
Ran away.
And do you hear Matt Walsh saying that men shouldn't be cops? After Uvalde, when they stood outside of a classroom for hours.
Hand sanitizing in the hallway.
Did Matt Walsh and all of these conservative commentators have a unifying message about how men shouldn't be police officers? No. They're just using it as an opportunity to promote their misogyny. That's what's happening now.
Republican Party, filled with women who are okay with it.
So thank you for that, Susan. We have another email. This is from Trucker Brad, longtime listener, longtime supporter of the show.
Yeah.
First, political violence is not the answer. Voting is the only cure. We cannot rely on the courts, or replacing Biden with Harris is an answer. We must vote. Second, whether the gunman was Republican or disguised as Republican, eliminating Trump is not the answer. It would have just taken a day or two for a surrogate leader to step forward and to pick up Project 2025 where it was left off. It would have slowed the progress a day or two, and the new proclaimed Republican leader, who might not be as charismatic as Trump, would certainly be smarter. Third, much like the pointless thoughts and prayers after a mass shooting, Republican pundits are pushing the notion that the racist and autocratic rhetoric needs to stop. I'm sorry, but do not stop the rhetoric. It's a fact that Project 2025 is the goal, and that fact, plus all the other evil plots and means, needs to continue to be exposed. Finally, as of this writing, one innocent bystander was killed and a couple more seriously injured. Yes, I'm offering my thoughts and prayers to the families of these victims. However, there is a better way to prevent this kind of violence. Better gun laws. Trucker Brad.
Yeah, listen, this is a case where there were no items in the shooter's background that would have prevented him from obtaining an AR-15. He did use his father's. But, I mean, this is... even in the case where an attempt on Donald Trump's life is taken upon with an AR-15, it still is Democrats calling for gun control and Republicans ignoring it. This is not the time. It's a bizarre political party that is not serving the interest of the American people. It serves the interest of corporations, gun manufacturers, and lobbyists with blood on their hands. Just bizarre to me.
Yeah. So thank you for that message, Trucker Brad. I just generally want to speak to the number of messages that we received containing conspiracy theories. So there's part of me that feels as though I'm a little surprised that people are sending these messages, because I feel like I put out a vibe like that I'm a person who isn't receptive to this kind of thing.
Yeah, yeah.
And yet I'm getting a lot of messages from people telling me that they're dissecting pieces of the video and this doesn't add up and that doesn't add up. And let me just tell you right now.
Everybody's a blood splatter expert now.
You are no different than a Sandy Hook truther if you are doing that. You just aren't. That's what those people do.
The overarching thought that you need to have is think about what would have had to have been in place, the vast conspiracy to stage a shooting where Donald Trump is grazed, not hit by a bullet, from someone who is an untrained tactician with the weapon. Like, what? Or was there another shooter, and that was just a patsy, the kid with the no gun, the 20-year-old white Republican with no... I mean, what are you doing? It was not staged. It was a real event. Get it together. Let's be better than the Republican Party that is entrenched in conspiracy thinking.
And just value evidence and go where the evidence leads you. And don't... don't give yourself too much credit and think that you're aware of everything. For example, I know nothing about weapons. I know nothing about distances with shooting. I know absolutely nothing about that. Like, I could not be more useless when a conversation begins about guns, about shooting distances. So I have been listening to a lot of experts talking about the weapon that was used, talking about the shooting distance, talking about the likelihood that someone could make that shot, blah, blah, blah. And everything really fits together and makes a lot of sense once you know the picture of it, right? That he was spotted by the cop who followed him to the roof. So his cover was blown. He was stressed. So he made the shot under duress, basically, right? He was trying to fire off the shot quickly to get it done.
Also, he's only 420 feet away. Also, the weapon, an AR-15, is designed for ease of use. It is effectively the M16A2 service weapon, the basic three-round burst, single-shot safety. That's the lever on the side of it. There is no three-round burst with an AR-15, but it is effectively the exact same thing as an M16 that was designed to put in somebody's hand and have them be a weapon of war. So it's meant to be used. It's meant to be accurate. It's meant to do exactly what it did, and the stress and all the other elements that you talked about are what led to the missed shot. And also, about the blood splatter stuff, I'm not a blood splatter expert, but you know, I've killed deer, I've hunted, and blood doesn't always spatter with a gunshot, especially like a graze. His ear is bleeding and gravity is taking the blood down his ear. It looks like he maybe, when he felt his ear, he reached across his face and blood came across his face. That's why you don't immediately see blood on his collar. I mean, there's all kinds of explanations that would lead you to it not being a conspiracy theory. It's not ketchup on his face.
Yeah. So I would just caution everyone, if your first thought was, this seems fishy, this seems, there's something afoot, there's something here, just, I mean, it's fine, I guess, to have that initial reaction and work through it, right? I had initial reactions to the shooting that I didn't publicly disclose in the form of feeling like everything was over and feeling very hopeless and feeling like Donald Trump immediately won the election. And I had to, you helped me work through it. Other commentators that I respect online helped me work through it. That's not a place that I should spend any time. There's no benefit of being in that place.
For sure. Also, that's not how shit works.
And there's no evidence for that. Yeah. We don't have evidence for that. We ultimately don't know what the outcome is going to be. But we do have the ability to influence that outcome. And that's the main thing that we need to remember. And so I would just, you know, recommend that everyone kind of take a beat, relax. It's been a really chaotic time for everybody.
Yeah.
We're all on edge because we know what we're facing. And that's influencing how we respond to this as well. And Let's just try to move through it together.
Yeah, absolutely. Is that it for the listener communication?
That is.
All right. We love and appreciate you. We would invite you to take part in this conversation and any other conversation you want to have. 657-464-7609. And of course, you can email idoubtit@dollamore.com.
So we want to take a moment to thank our Patreon supporters, because we could not do this without our Patreon supporters. So let's shout out the new Patreon supporters. Bev S.
Bev S.
Mark M.
Mark M.
Nick.
Nick.
Billy B.
Billy B.
Maka K.
Maka K.
Mark.
Mark.
Sally R.
Sally R.
George M.M.
George M. M.
Johnny J.
Johnny J.
Bridget W.
Bridget W.
Paul B.
Paul B.
Adam and Christine M.
Adam and Christine M. Thank you very much.
Ari and Julia.
Ari and Julia.
Lib Top Model.
Lib Top Model.
Timothy M.
Timothy M.
Felicia.
Felicia.
Ido M.
Ido M.
Robin N.
Robin M. M or N?
N.
November N.
I can't ever remember the, what do you call it?
Phonetic alphabet?
Yes. And so.
Alpha Bravo, Charlie Delta Echo. Go ahead.
I go for things that
are. You do
are,
like they do on cop movies. A is for apple.
Wait, what is A? Oh, alpha.
Yeah.
Yeah. I just start trying to like find something in the room to name, and I try to avoid cuss words.
Just you should. What you should do is like, rather than P for Papa, it's P for pneumonia.
Okay, okay. We have to give a shout out to our Patreon supporters who have increased their pledge. So that would be Farley X. W.
Farley X. W.
I was thinking maybe it was two names, but then okay, Georgia.
Georgia. The entire state of Georgia is now supporting this podcast. Thank you very much.
And you won't believe this, but Virginia.
Virginia? Wow.
Since
we are growing to lengths and heights never before thought.
Yes, yes. So thank you, Glenn Youngkin. All right. We seriously really could not do this without you, and we really appreciate you. Again, it's been a difficult time. We appreciate all of your very kind messages of support. Please do not forget to take advantage of your benefits as a Patreon supporter, that being the ad-free episode where you can copy and paste the RSS feed link into whatever podcatcher you use, or you can use the Patreon interface, which is improving every day. They're making it better every day, okay? You can...
Finally.
You can interact with other Patreon...
Not a decade too soon, Brittany Page.
You can interact with other Patreon community members as well in the community chats, which they just rolled out for mobile as well, so you can
do it
on your
phone. That, I think, is a great benefit. Get to know the audience. Get to know your fellow listeners.
For sure. And you can also check out the bonus episodes that we put up. So definitely check those out. And thank you so much for your support.
If you too would like to become a Patreon supporter, go to patreon.com/IDoubtItPodcast.
Stalemocracy. Facing down pessimistic politics with realistic optimism.
So we weren't here for the big conversation surrounding should Joe Biden drop out, should he continue to be the candidate. He's continuing to make the rounds and do interviews, including tonight with Lester Holt on NBC News.
Mm.
And I saw a clip of this already, and I was very disappointed.
In Lester Holt.
In Lester Holt. Also in Joe Biden, who I don't think is effectively representing the party, who is effectively charging against all of this in the way that he needs to. But there was a line that Joe Biden recently said about putting Donald Trump in a bullseye. And...
shitty remark.
We know what he means by that. But in the aftermath of what happened at the Trump rally in Pennsylvania... right-wing figures are now saying that this is an example of left-wing rhetoric that has amplified the likelihood of violence.
The fucking hypocrisy of these motherfuckers. Are you kidding me? After year upon year upon year upon year upon year upon year upon year of Donald Trump stoking violence, inciting violence, inspiring violence, encouraging violence, promoting violence... countless instances Joe Biden says one dumb fuck thing, which was wrong. They can point to one thing, and then they ignore all that Donald Trump has said and done.
Yeah, I mean,
get the fuck out of here.
And not even Donald Trump, but the most prominent figures in the Republican Party who accuse Democrats of being the party of pedophiles.
Right.
Donald Trump talking about how Paul Pelosi, the attack when he got the hammer to the head after the DePap broke into the house and wanted to go after Nancy Pelosi, but instead found her husband, Paul Pelosi, the conspiracy theories that were floated about the man who broke in being his gay lover.
Right.
About, you know, Donald Trump getting on stage and saying, oh, that Paul Pelosi, how's he doing, by the way? After he got his head smashed in.
So she's got a wall all around her house. They don't like guns. She has a wall to protect herself. Didn't work very well, by the way.
Yeah.
As the crowd laughs with delight.
Or saying that the kidnapping attempt on Gretchen Whitmer, the governor of Michigan, that was staged.
Yeah, fake and staged. Donald Trump, remember, just a few months ago, shared a photo of the dipshit with the altered image of Joe Biden. Looks like a real thing in his tailgate of Joe Biden hogtied and kidnapped in the back of his truck. Donald Trump shared that on Truth Social. Donald Trump, what did he say when someone was like, well, what are they going to do about Hillary Clinton if she does that, this or that? And he's like, well, I guess the Second Amendment people could take care of that for her.
If she gets to pick her judges, nothing you can do, folks. Although the Second Amendment people, maybe there is. I don't know.
Right.
That was in 2016.
Yeah. I mean, come on.
So when you said years and years, it literally has been the entire time Donald Trump has been on the public
yes.
stage. It has been stoking the fires.
Well, even in 2015 at rallies when I'd like to punch him in the face. And if someone hits that guy, I'll pay your medical bills. Remember all of that? Apparently, Republicans don't remember it. But they do remember with crystal clarity the one offhand dumb thing Joe Biden said about a bullseye, not crosshairs. A bullseye.
Right. And Lester Holt is doing this weird pandering. Like, I think it's just the media falling back into this both sides nonsense where they feel like they need to both sides every issue to death in order to look as though they don't have a bias.
Right.
When the reality is that Joe Biden made one comment that, yeah, should he have picked a better word in hindsight? Looks bad, not great, could have picked a better word. As he explained it in response to Lester Holt, he didn't say crosshairs, though.
Yeah.
He didn't say, let's put him in the crosshairs. He said, let's focus on the things that he's doing. And
Can we also, I just remembered that Donald Trump, when his supporters were screaming, hang Mike Pence, and he was told about it in the White House, in the midst of the insurrection, when Mike Pence's life was in danger, Donald Trump said, well, maybe our supporters have the right idea.
Yeah. Oh, don't worry. There's going to be plenty of examples. That it never ends, the number of examples of Donald Trump
yeah.
or prominent figures in the Republican Party calling for violence. And you have Lester Holt amplifying this. And what's frustrating is that Joe Biden isn't able to pivot in the way that Donald Trump would be able to pivot that conversation and just completely take the pressure off him, that it is not at all about the bullseye comment. It is about the mocking Paul Pelosi, Gretchen Whitmer, the Second Amendment people will take care of Hillary Clinton. You know, all these examples. That's what Joe Biden should be prepped to say
yes.
from his staff.
Yeah.
And in response to any reporter who's like, what about the left wing amplifying this rhetoric? It's what about the left? What about the left wing? Didn't Marjorie Taylor Greene just tweet about Democrats being pedophiles?
Yeah.
Like, again, recently? I don't.
I mean, it's Lester Holt's. Look, I know we have 10,000 examples of Donald Trump promoting and encouraging violence. But what about this one thing you said, Joe Biden? Yeah. There's 50,000 things Donald Trump has done, but you said bullseye. Well, you really knew. I need to hold you to account.
Yeah.
Get the fuck out of here.
Yeah. So there's a good example of this with Fox News host Shannon Bream, who I think they like to think of her as being on the quote unquote news side, but she
yeah.
makes the rounds on these opinion sides too. I think they're starting to let go of that. Like,
oh,
there's
yeah.
just not two sides anymore. They don't even
Brett
pretend.
Baer, even Brett Baer today, when he was talking about the Donald Trump picking J.D. Vance as his nominee, his vice presidential nominee, he said, I just got off the phone with Donald Trump. Not all. I just spoke with Donald Trump in as part of reporting. It's like, I just got off the phone with him.
Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah. So Shannon Bream starts to, this was in the aftermath of the shooting, and she starts immediately launching into blaming left-wing commentators.
to America.
Do you think that this is a bit of a wake-up call, that rhetoric has gotten so heated? There are accusations and, you know, comments about the fact that electing somebody would be the end of democracy as we know it, that kind of thing. We had former Attorney General Bill Barr say last night, Democrats have got to stop their grossly irresponsible talk about President Trump being an existential threat to democracy. He is not. Where do we go in our political conversation? I mean, this country is built on being able to disagree and do it in a very heated way. But what about this?
Well, it is. But there is no place in politics in any way, shape or form for this kind of violence, for these types of actions. It's a horrific act. And we certainly don't know all of the details, and we're going to have time for investigations on it. But right now, I think everybody in America needs to stop. They need to pause. They need to reflect on what is actually important for us in this political process going forward. And, you know, fortunately, we are here in Milwaukee, and the show is going to take place. I think it's tremendously important for us as a country that the Republican Party is going to move forward. We are going to be strong. We are going to be resilient. And certainly President Trump is going to be strong and resilient.
Well, we all look.
So the only thing I agree is that people should kind of pause and reflect.
Yeah.
But do it in a much different way than they're recommending.
You know what? It's heated on both sides. Both sides need to bring the temperature down, Brittany. All these left-wing and liberal Democrats, they need to stop with the calls for violence.
Yeah, they need to stop accurately labeling the thing that is going to happen, because we already got a preview of it when Donald Trump promoted the insurrection.
Yeah.
And that was another example of him provoking his loyal following to engage in an act of violence. So this whole thing about you can't talk about how he's an existential threat. You can't talk about how it's the end of democracy. Donald Trump is the one who said that he could terminate the Constitution.
He said he's going to be a dictator on day one.
Yeah, if you want to talk to someone about how words matter and language matters and rhetoric matters, then take it up with your guy. Yeah. Take it up with your guy.
And that's what this is, by the way. This is all a ploy to get us to stop the criticism. Stop talking about what we are, what we will do, what we plan to do, what we've said we'll do. Stop talking about it because, oh, it could cause violence. When a Republican took a shot at Donald Trump. A Republican.
Well, and it's also, we're hearing a lot about the quote-unquote political violence from people who haven't cared and have been very dismissive about the overwhelming number of horrific deaths in Gaza.
Yeah.
That they are just callous, they don't care about it, and now we're hearing all this hand-wringing about political violence from people who mock homeless people in the street, who mock people who get evicted. We're starting to hear that we need to be more compassionate for these people who are nothing but callous assholes.
I mean, this is the party of very fine people on both sides. Hours after Heather Heyer was murdered, marching against the Nazis who rallied and marched in Charlottesville.
Yeah, and so there's a very real difference between saying that Donald Trump is an existential threat, that his election could be the end of democracy, and us sitting here and saying that Donald Trump is vermin, that he is subhuman.
Yeah.
That he needs to be rooted out.
That he's poisoning the blood of our country.
You don't hear leftists talk like that. You hear leftists say he's a threat to democracy.
Yeah.
Donald Trump is the one that calls people vermin and talks about poisoning the blood of the country. He's the one who uses very dangerous rhetoric. And so all of this is just manipulation, and we need to reject it immediately. Biden's campaign was talking about pulling down campaign ads.
Come on.
No, you put your foot on the gas.
Yes.
You stay the course.
Absolutely.
You lean in, because that is what they would do.
And that's also what will save the country.
Yeah, and you also had like
you get an elected Joe Biden is the most important thing right now. You don't suspend the campaign if you truly believe Donald Trump is an existential threat to the country.
Right. And MSNBC pulled Morning Joe off the air today.
Right.
Because they were concerned that there may be an inappropriate comment made.
Listen, if you think MSNBC, oh, they've got our backs, they're on our side, they are a corporate-run news outlet, just like CNN, who's been stepping on their dick time after time after time, doing all of this too. Jake Tapper, Aaron Burnett, Dana Bash, no fact-checking during the debate, just letting Donald Trump run roughshod. Just disgusting.
If they're worried about stepping on toes and offending Donald Trump now, how are these media organizations going to act when he has power again?
Yeah, when he's a dictator on day one and is setting his course to terminate the Constitution of the United States, like he has said himself he has a right to do.
So on that note, since you brought it up, Jesse, there was this moment where the GOP released their 2024 Republican Party platform, and there was all of this press surrounding Donald Trump having written it himself or contributed to it significantly himself. And many news outlets were using language that indicated that Donald Trump's influence had softened the party, the Republican Party positions on things like abortion and gay marriage. And the press decided to run with this. And I want to give you a specific example here. Actually, let's start with Jake Tapper. So Jake Tapper had Adam Serwer on. He is a columnist at The Atlantic. He is responsible for that phrase that many of you probably put in comments all over the internet: the cruelty's the point. Yeah, he's the one who wrote that column. So Adam Serwer was on with Jake Tapper. He wrote a column criticizing the media for saying that the 2024 Republican Party platform had been softened by Donald Trump. And here's how Jake Tapper introduced Adam Serwer to his audience.
Continuing with our 2024 lead in next week's Republican National Convention, let's bring in Tim Alberta and Adam Serwer. They have separate articles in The Atlantic about what might be ahead, and they are two of my favorite young writers. Adam, to you first, since we were just talking about the courts, in your article called "Stop Soft Peddling the GOP's Extreme Positions," you say that the idea that the Republicans are softening their stance on abortion, which we have not said, but other media outlets have said, is actually a bait and switch because of what Republicans think the courts will ultimately do. Explain what you mean.
That sounds reasonable. Jake Tapper, he's a reliable guy. CNN must have never said that Donald Trump is softening the position.
Well, let's hear Aaron Burnett on CNN one day previous.
And also tonight, Trump praising the RNC's new party platform. What he doesn't say is that he wrote some of that new platform himself. And it cements his grip on the party. And, you know, there's often a discussion about these things. It's a committee, but not in this case. He's doing a lot of it. And what he has done is softened language on issues like abortion and same-sex marriage. This is hugely significant. And Kristen Holmes is out front. Kristen, this is, you know, you're reporting here, you know, the platform reads like a Trump rally speech. And it's not like anything we've seen before from the Republican Party, from what you understand.
Donald Trump is softening the position on abortion of the Republican Party, and it's hugely significant, she says.
And unlike anything we've seen before.
Unbelievable. And then Jake Tapper, hours later, says, oh, that never happened on CNN. He's either stupid or he's a liar. But either one of those, they're complicit in propping up Donald Trump as a reasonable character when we all know, and they all know, he is not.
There is an additional third option, and that's that he doesn't watch Aaron Burnett. But I will say,
well, an executive producer has to do is get in his ear and his earpiece and say, make a correction. That was said.
Yeah, I'm not taking it away from your point that this is an absolute failure. This is why I talked about it in what I was guest hosting for you when you were in Scotland with Brett.
Thank you for that, by the way.
That I consume so much media planning this show that I'm able to pick up on things like this, where I had listened to the Aaron Burnett thing, you know, several days ago, and then I heard Jake Tapper say this, and I'm thinking, wait a minute. What? No, yeah. You absolutely are. The Washington Post said it. Mainstream media outlets said this, and they're floating it. And I know people listen to this, and they're like, well, I don't listen to CNN. Who gives a shit what CNN says?
Millions of people do.
Yeah, it's on at the airport. It's on in restaurants. It's many people feel that they're informed because they watch things like CNN. And so unless you take the time to actually know about Project 2025 and Kevin Roberts and the Heritage Foundation and Jonathan F. Mitchell, who has been quoted in the New York Times saying, I hope Donald Trump doesn't know about the Comstock Act.
Yeah.
I hope he shuts his mouth and doesn't talk about the Comstock Act, because we don't want the general public to know that we want to eliminate access to abortion pills through the Comstock Act. He was in the New York Times quoted saying this.
Yeah.
A conservative attorney, Jonathan F. Mitchell. Look it up. So
also, let me say this, that it's only been a few years during the last campaign that Donald Trump said to Chris Matthews that a woman, yeah, well, there's got to be some kind of punishment for a woman who seeks an abortion, for who gets an abortion. Yep, yeah, yeah, there's jail time. There's got to be legal criminal consequence for that. And now, apparently, there's been some kind of a sea change in his mind.
Right.
And he's softening the position of the Republican Party. Shut the fuck up.
Yeah, so it's a scary time, particularly when you have the media at the helm and they're behaving like this, when they have an actual responsibility to people.
It's like they don't know how to switch on the fly. They want to act like this is George H.W. Bush versus Dukakis or something. Like it's some old-timey election where we hearken back to both the candidates being pretty much just one's wheat bread, one's white bread. That's not what we've got here.
Yeah, well, and we went to this bar where when you walk in, they force you to sit at a table where you don't know someone.
In Edinburgh.
And it was absolutely horrifying for me. Something that Jesse loves, horrifying for me. And we happened to be seated with someone that I immediately knew was a conservative. And
I didn't catch it because my brain is so addled that I always just think, oh, they're Brits. This guy's not going to be a nutcase.
Mm-hmm.
And he was a nutcase.
Yeah. We talked about it afterward, and I think it's my therapist training that has allowed me to understand little micro expressions that people give. I'm not saying I'm a body language expert. That's not what I'm trying to say.
Yeah, but it's just communication stuff.
It is. It's communication stuff where people respond in certain ways to certain things that are said that start giving me...
How long someone pauses, if someone's eyes go a little wide when you're telling them something.
Yeah, I just tune into stuff a little bit differently than other people.
Clearly differently than me.
and so this guy ended up being like a Dan Bongino fan and...
A Brit! His favorite YouTuber is Dan fucking Bongino.
Yeah. And once the political difference was made apparent, there was this conversation about, like, if Donald Trump wins, moving out of the country. And he said to us, yeah, you guys always say that. And I had the thought, it is a bummer. It is a bummer that historically... there has been this tendency of people to say, if the Republican gets elected, I'm moving out of the country, whether they're serious or not. But this really is a different time. And I know that there would be conservatives listening to this like, oh, yeah, it's different every time. But
we've never had a Republican talk about retribution as a theme of the campaign.
Yeah, I mean, we've been doing this show for 10 years, and this feels genuinely unlike anything we've ever had to cover or talk about.
Well, we've also never had a Republican who was just granted criminal immunity for anything they do while president of the United States to a person who's already been convicted of felonies, 34 felonies. That's never been the case. It is different. It is different.
Or having a judge that Donald Trump appointed throw out what everyone believed to be the strongest case against him.
Right. That's going to be appealed. But yeah. Yes.
Everyone was like, yeah, these other cases, no. But this one, yeah, this is the one that he should be afraid of. And then she's like, eh.
Well, what they're doing with that, and we can just talk about it very briefly, is it's just a delay tactic. I think they know it's going to get back on the docket, but by that time he might be president in charge of the DOJ, and then we'll be able to scuttle the investigation. So that's what they're doing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So this has been kind of a haphazard episode. Maybe it has felt all over the place, but I think that that's kind of representative of how the past few weeks have felt for us. It has been all over the place. It has felt very chaotic. And listen, the news has been very chaotic. And I guess briefly, the last thing I want to talk about is just the message to people, because Susan kind of address this as well, like what do we say to people, because there's kind of this fracturing in the Democratic Party where a lot of people believe that Joe Biden should step aside. That conversation has reduced somewhat in the headlines because of the Trump shooting and now the Republican National Convention with J.D. Vance being selected as the VP. But
I just shook my head, by the way, like, no, ugh. I just wanted to.
Yeah,
it's a podcast, so.
And this may be not great for people to hear, but I don't know. I don't know what's best. And I get...
I think Joe Biden should stay the course.
I get very put off by people who say anything with certainty about what the direction is, that he must do this or we're going to lose.
Yeah, that's true.
I find that very off-putting, because regardless of what ends up happening, we all have a role to play in not only getting out and voting, but also in communicating with the people that we are closest to about the realities that we're facing and ensuring that they're getting out and voting. And I have people who have messaged me in the aftermath of the shooting, and they have said, oh, it's over. Donald Trump is for sure going to win. And I already talked about how I was in that place for a few hours afterward. But I have to think myself through that. And I'm like, okay, some of these people I know for a fact didn't vote in their state's primary. Some of these people can't identify who their state representative is. And I'm not trying to shit on them, right? We're all busy. We have things to do. But you need to get involved. If you are genuinely worried about this stuff, you need to be a person who is involved voting in your state's primary. You need to know who your representative is. You should be in contact with your representative about stuff. You should be involved, because this is the time. This is the time to get involved and ensure that you're doing everything you can so that when November comes around, you know that you did everything you could.
Yeah, to the point of the uncertainty, I'm with you. Right now, I am Joe Biden should stay the course. But if he decides to drop and Kamala steps forward or Gavin Newsom or whoever, that's our person. I'm not a giant fan of Kamala Harris, just like I'm not a giant fan of Joe Biden. But that is our only chance right now. The Democratic nominee, whoever that person is our only shot of staving off the damage and the recklessness of the Republican Party and what they have vowed they will bring upon the United States if elected. That's what you got to do. You got to go into this with intensity and intentionality to organize and get active in the process, unlike any way you ever have in the past.
Right. So I don't know, because I'm not in your shoes listening to this. I don't know if you're walking away from this thinking that we sound like we were all over the place, if we sound like we're in a rage fit. I don't know what you're thinking, right? All I know is what I'm feeling. And I'm trying to stay in a place where I'm focusing on the things that I can control, and I'm focusing on the things that I can do, and I'm trying to read things from people that I respect and that make me feel like we have control over what is going to happen, and not like we should just lay down and die right now because it's over.
Because it's not over. There are 4 months left.
Yes, and that's what we need to remember. So I hope that you're with us. I hope that you are ready to stay in the fight. I hope you're ready. And I mean, it's going to be rough, but we're going to be here.
Yeah. We love and appreciate you. We're going to leave you there. We want to hear from you. We do want to hear from you. 657-464-7609 is the voicemail line at which you can leave a fewer than 3 minute voicemail. You can also email us. idoubtit@dollamore.com. We love and appreciate you. Thanks for tuning in. We will see you next time. Consider helping support this show. For $2 a month, you can become a Patreon supporter. Go to patreon.com/idoubtitpodcast. Now, we will see you next time on episode 921. For Brittany Page, I'm Jesse Dollamore, and this has been I Doubt It.